Wait, the B reel went off. Do you want to be on my B reel?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, say cheese.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Spice Rack Pod. We missed you guys last week, but we are back with a great read. But before we get into it, Saf, how are you doing?
I am so excited because it's St. Patrick's Day week and it's Kacey Musgraves week. So I'm like really like I'm on cloud nine currently. How are
Yeah, I
you?
see Saf this weekend. I'm good. I'm good. I'm my friend's bachelorette trip, and so this is spring break, and I watched three rom-coms so far. I think people really forget how iconic Lindsay Lohan was in the rom-com era, like at least like 15 or 20 years ago. I watched Just My Luck with her and Chris Pine, iconic.
Classic.
And then I watched What's Your Number with Anna Faris and Chris Evans. And then When in Rome with Kristen Bell and Josh Duhamel. So I'm on a roll.
It's interesting because those are three that I would not usually go for. Are you like working up to like the big ones?
I went on Hulu today and I picked on the first one that says suggested for me.
Okay.
So that is where I came up. Yeah. So I think Love and Other Drugs is one of my favorites. So I think that will be tomorrow. And then I'll
Okay.
go from there.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days fall in this rotation that you're doing? Because that's the best rom-com of all time.
I'll add it to tomorrow's.
Okay, good. Just got to make sure it's on the schedule.
Yeah, so that's about it. That's about it for me.
I'm just so excited to see you this weekend. And I
Yeah.
had the most fun time out last weekend. But okay, let me just give you a recap. So the first thing is that Seth and I were like being like cutesy at brunch and just like snuggling. We weren't at like bougie brunch. We were at like diner breakfast, just like snuggling and like, I don't know, like I touch his hands at breakfast, which I realize is like maybe really cringy when I say it out loud, but like whatever. We were just like being cute and like chit
Yeah.
chatty, whatever. And then I started playing the Concentration 64 game. Do you remember Concentration
Yep.
64?
Did
Okay.
it, did it.
Seth had no clue what I was talking about. So then when I'm out later that night, I was with a girlfriend and I was like, oh my God, do you remember this game from my childhood? Like, did y'all play this? Because she's from Pennsylvania. And so we fully played Concentration 64 in the bar. And then a man got enamored by what we were doing. So I taught him how to play Concentration 64 in the bar, which was so fun. But like, you know, those nights where like nobody is like super drunk, but everyone is just like happy and like had such a good time. Like that was the
Yeah.
experience that I had this weekend. It was so much fun.
I'm telling you, there's nothing better than just being like giggly. Like when you and your partner just can't stop being giggly and fun, it's like the best feeling.
Seth and I were so giggly all weekend, and like I was hungover and still giggly. It was great.
Some
I will
true
say,
love.
I texted Emily. I'm acting like I wasn't drunk. Like I was a little drunk, like, but it was fine. But I FaceTimed Emily number one from the bar bathroom, and then I texted her later. I had an experience that made me laugh so hard that I did pee my pants in public. I have never laughed so hard in my whole life. Okay, so we were at this bar and it was a country band, and a thing in Savannah is like swing, like shag dancing, which like I feel like is very niche to like South Georgia and North Florida and like not really anywhere else. But anyway, so I like always will jump in and dance with like random people because Seth isn't really a dancer, so like, but it's fine. Anyways, starts dancing with us, and I'm expecting him to like do the country dance thing. Emily, this man full waltz. He is like I am clutched to his chest. First of all, he's like 6'5", so my arms are like way above my head. He is clutching me to his chest, and he is Bridgerton like moving my ass across this dance floor. I laughed so hard. I told Seth after that I felt like I was on a ride at Six Flags. Like, he just like yanked me around with such a fervor. I have never laughed so hard. I was laughing so hard that the band started laughing because it was fucking insane. And the most like hilarious experience I've ever had being out downtown, like with other humans.
It was just like a fun, like,
It
I've
was so
always wanted to
fun.
do one of those like bar dance things, but I've always been nervous.
Oh my God. Well, that man made me laugh because it was so aggressive and so crazy that now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be so friendly. Like, maybe I should be less trustworthy because he just like, it was not the dance that I was expecting, and he just waltzed me. And I laughed my ass off because it was so funny.
I love that.
And I did pee my pants. And then yesterday I saw a TikTok of a girl who was peeing her pants laughing. And I was like, you know what? Because Seth like slightly roasted me, as he should. And I was like, you know what? This is something that other people suffer from. I have only peed my pants with laughter one time. And then the next day I get fed something on the algorithm of other girls doing it too. So if you've ever peed your pants laughing, this is the same space.
I had peed myself laughing, so
Oh my, you have too? Okay, so this is like a common girly thing.
yeah,
I told
no, it
Seth, I
really
was like, I think boys shit their pants and girls pee themselves laughing. Like, I've never shit my pants, but like every man
no,
I've
guys
ever met has
are
shit a pant.
notorious for shitting, yeah, guys are notorious for shitting their pants.
Exactly. So I would rather pee myself with laughter than have to shit my pants. So that's where we're at.
Now, when Sav FaceTimed me in the bar bathroom, the lead singer of the band was there. I felt famous.
I think that life is just about the friends that you make along the way in the bar bathroom. Like, I've never met a girl in a bar bathroom that I didn't like.
Yeah, no. That's
Oh
really
my God.
all I
And I
have.
also karaoke'd Goodbye Earl.
You did.
I did. I hope we do that this weekend. Do you know Goodbye Earl?
Now I can just mumble.
That's okay. I don't need the screen at this point, so I can carry the team. Okay. If you see us karaoke and Goodbye Earl this weekend, mind your business. Thank you.
What have you been reading? So I would just like to say, we did try to read a new book last week, guys. We both DNF'd it. Sab and I were reading it at the same time. Just
Yes.
wasn't for us.
I would like to say I feel so validated because I posted on my personal story, not even the pod story, that I DNF'd it. At least six people responded back saying that they also DNF'd it, that it was bad.
Yeah. And I think we gave it a good like 35 to like almost 50%. And we're just like, no.
It just was not getting better.
Nope. So after I DNF that, I read the book that we're doing today. And that's all I
So
have been reading.
it's crazy because I feel like I go through spells where I'm like, oh, I can't read anything. And then I read so much as a result of that. So I DNF Dante. Well, what we're originally going to read was Alive and Wells by Bailey Hanna. I finished it. Sometimes a book will be fine, but like it was white bread toast. Like there was nothing good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we're going to sit here and talk about a book, it has to be at least somewhat fucking entertaining. So Alive and Wells was fine, just wasn't anything to write home about. Then I read Smoking Gun by Lainey Lawson, which is a debut from her. Oh my God, chef's kiss, fantastic. Then I read Swift and Saddled, which we're talking about today. I would like to point out that Alive and Wells, Smoking Gun, and Swift and Saddled were all cowboy romances, so I'm back, bitches, back and better than ever. I finally finished listening to Everything I Know About Love, which is so good. You have to read it.
I have it's I it's on my desk.
Okay, good. Pick it up because it's so
Yeah.
good. And then I also am 91% of the way through with The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store, which is it's giving like American classic. It's basically about this Jewish and like mostly black community outside of Philly. In like the 30s and then also in the 80s. I don't know. It's really good, but it's giving like American classic about racism, like discourse about racism in America, but really good. I'm into it so far. And then also, I started reading in The Unlikely Event by LJ. Have you read this?
Yeah, that's my favorite LJ book.
Oh my
It's
God,
my
how have
favorite.
I
It's
never read this?
yeah, it's my favorite LJ book, and I think it is her most underrated book. But I just love the concept. I think it is one of her most well-written books. It is my favorite LJ book.
Oh my God. Well, I went on a deep dive because I was like, I want to do something that's like a little bit Irish for St. Patrick's Day. And so I started reading that because the main character is Irish, but I'm like,
Irish.
holy shit, this is great.
Yeah, I think it's her most underrated book. It is also very different than her other books, but I love that book so much.
Oh my God, wait. I can't wait. Hopefully I'll be done by this weekend and we can chat about it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, great. But yeah, that's all that I read. So, getting into this week's book, Lila Sage lives in the Wild West with her loyal companion, a sweet old blind rescue pit bull. She writes romance that feels like her favorite things, sunshine and big blue skies. She's also the author of Done and Dusted, and when she's not writing, she's reading. And we did an episode on Done and Dusted. It's episode 67, and it's titled Sugar. And then this week's dedication, I think, is really sweet because Done and Dusted was her first novel. So this is her second. And it says, "This book couldn't be dedicated to anyone but you, dear reader, for running alongside me as I chase my dreams, and for Corinne, Leo's sweetheart." And then there's also a quote at the beginning of the book, "Our sunsets glow with color and the pure and the and the pearly dawn of morn. The pungent scent of sage drifts down on a breeze that's mountain born." And it's from "This Godforsaken Land," which by Juanita Leach, a cowboy poet. God damn, thank God you didn't read it. A cowboy poet circa the 1940s.
I loved this quote. I
Oh
really,
my
really,
God.
really
I
liked
had an
it.
aneurysm fucking reading it, but it's gorgeous.
So, getting into the plot, so Ada's whole life was in San Francisco, but after her divorce, she needed a fresh start. When her friend Teddy reached out about a job in Wyoming, Ada didn't hesitate to say no. On her first day in Meadowlark, Wyoming, Ada set out to find food at their local dive bar. She did not find food, but she, however, did find a hot cowboy who she had a steamy makeout sesh with in the bar hallway. Fast forward to the next morning, when Ada arrives to Rebel Blue Ranch for her first day of work, she quickly learns that Wes, the hot cowboy from the bar, is her boss. Ada quickly drew a strict line with Wes, saying that they need to be professional, but that line quickly became blurred with them living and working together. The chemistry that started at the bar was in full force, and the two decided to stop fighting it, leading to the cowboy romance of our dreams. Ada's new start not only led to her finding her person, but it also led to her finding her people in Meadowlark and Wes finding his person.
Okay, I gave this 4.5 stars. I really liked this. I loved Wes, and I really enjoyed most of Ada. Like, there were a couple of things about her that got on my nerves, but for the most part, I liked her. A couple of things about this book that I just really appreciated. First, we're getting like a divorced girlie's comeback run of authors writing about people that have been divorced, which I just think is like kind of fun. The mental health talks were really amazing in this book. The emotional maturity of Weston Ryder, the girl friendships, and then overall just the family at Rebel Blue. I am not a person who experiences depression, but I feel like the way that she talked about it was so beautiful, especially since Wes was depicted as being so like happy-go-lucky. And I always appreciate when we emphasize that illnesses and disorders in a book have nothing to do with what you look like or how you present or how you act. So I really appreciated that. When Wes quoted How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I personally was done for. I knew that that was when I had found my man, personally for me. Okay. Getting into the of Ada, maybe is like the best way to say it, like the meh. I just really struggled with how hard on herself she was. And like, even though we all do it, it feels weird to like watch someone constantly down themselves. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just like struggled with that.
No, I really did, because at some point I felt like when she was just like, yeah, like when the girls were inviting her out for like coffee and stuff originally, she was like, I'm not like a nice, like she was like saying like to her like self, like I'm not a nice person, I don't do friendships, these girls are not going to like me. It's like, you're not giving yourself a chance.
And like, I don't really understand why. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing hinted at in her past that you were like, oh, this girl sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I don't know. I think I'm just like, I'm not a person who's like typically pretty negative. So when someone in a book is like, everybody's praying for my downfall, I'm like, girl, nobody is thinking about you. Like, that's not what's going on at all. So I just, that was the only part of Ada that I like really struggled with and didn't love. What continues to be the heart and soul of this series, though, is Teddy and Emmy's friendship. And I just adore that. Like, I hope that it never goes away. And I'm really excited for Teddy's book. But at one point, Ada asks Emmy if Luke slash Brooks is her soulmate. And she says, no, like, I've known my soulmate since I was 1 year old, and it's Teddy. Like, I just think that that is so beautiful. But the female friendships, like, came around to Ada, which I appreciated. So there's a night where the girls end up like drinking wine and doing like DIY crafts in the big house. And I think that that's so sweet. And so Ada says, I didn't know if I'd ever been a part of any sort of girls' night, maybe a sleepover or two in middle school or something, but it had always been more of one of those things I saw in movies or on TV. This night made me miss something that I'd never experienced. And now I knew that I was right to miss it. First of all, I'm crying. Like, that's so sad. And secondly, I love the feeling that she was getting of acceptance, but also like being kind of like melancholy and sad about something that is happening in front of you. So I don't know. Those are my feelings. I just really enjoyed that. Wes said so many things in this book. Like, he was so perfect. But my favorite was, you are earnest and talented, tenacious and funny. I would never insult you by calling you something as general as nice. Slay. And then here's my last part. I have a personal ick. What the fuck were those boys doing when they were lassoing each other? What the fuck was
When he started explaining the lassoing, I skimmed. I skimmed. I was like, I
I
don't
was like,
get this.
what the fuck are we doing? I had already loved him so much at that point and that point, so I had to move on, or else I would have fully gotten the ick.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm just gonna skim this.
I don't need to picture grown men shooting a little rope at people's feet to like then like do you freeze up and you fall like a sack of logs like
Yeah, I was okay.
it gave me the massive ick. So he was perfect other than that one little thing, which if you just skip it, it's like it's never happened, so that's great for us.
I gave this book 5 stars. I really enjoyed it, and it reminded me of a warm spring day. That is how I would say that this book made me feel. It also reminded me of Taylor Swift's Cowboy Like Me song. I don't know if it's because like the cowboy, but it reminded me of her song. I really enjoyed Ada, and I liked how she was not going to let her ex-husband win, and she went on this journey to start new and chase her dream. However, for me personally, Wes was the star of the show in this book. He was the main character. The way that he supported everyone that he loves and the way he loved was just so swoon-worthy, I couldn't handle it. Like, he loved so openly, which, like, I feel like that's very, like, taboo. Like, men try not to, like, show that side of them. But he did not care that people saw how he loved. I also really enjoyed the conversation surrounding men's mental health and how open Wes was about his depression, because that also is like a pretty taboo topic. This book had both male and female friendships, which just really made it a strong 5 stars for me. I really enjoyed seeing Ada open up to the female friendships and like how accepting the other girls were like right away of her. And I just like really like that she ended up finding like her girl gang when she moved to Wyoming. And I do really hope we like continue to see the friendships. Like, because I think in these kind of books, when the friendships are so strong, you have two kind of romances. You have like the like relationship romances and like the platonic romances with the friends. So I personally really enjoy this series. There's nothing I love more than when people chase their passions and their dreams. And we saw this with the inn being like Wes's dream and Ada chasing her dream of being like the interior designer. And but I also really liked how they cheered each other on. So to me, like their love was just very delicate and just very like soft. And this book once again made me want to move to a small town and live on a ranch. So it did its job. I would like to talk about Ride or Die. how their family has like a whole day for the writers that the mom did for like their anniversary. I just thought that just had me in tears. Like a few quotes. So when she first got to the farm and the cows were not moving, she goes, "Within a few seconds, move, bitch, get out of the way," was pumping through my speakers. This was going to work. If they wouldn't listen to me, they might listen to Ludacris. That quote sent me. Like, that was just so funny to me. I like the whole sun and moon analogy that they had with their relationship. So Ada referred to Wes as the sun. She said he was like the sun, no matter what, he would keep coming up. And Wes said, told Ada that she's like the moon, and he goes, "You are the moon," he said, "and I'm the tides. You pull me in without even trying, and I come to you willingly. I always will." That was just so beautiful. And then last, when Ada goes, "At his core, Weston Ryder was gentle. And I thought that was the best thing a man could be." I was like, preach.
So sweet.
So sweet. Like, their love was just very sweet.
I also loved when she starts playing Move, Bitch, Get Out of the Way. I had this highlighted too. She's like, "I have an affinity for cows. Like, anytime I see them on the side of the road, I feel like you should point to them and go, 'Cows.'" That's so cute because I do that.
Yeah, I really liked that.
And when he rescues the fucking baby cow and he's like shirtless in a cowboy hat in the rain, holding this like tiny baby cow. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Hot.
And this book was hot.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
I gave it 1.5 peppers. How many peppers did you give it?
I gave it 1.5.
I wish, listen, we could have taken it to like another, like, I'm not mad, right? But like, we could have upped it a notch for sure.
I fully agree. But I gave 1.5. So first one is like when they're first starting, like this is like the first time that they're gonna have sex. He goes, "Should I tell you about how I get in the shower and fuck my fist at the thought of you writhing on the counter?" Wes started to pull my underwear down. "Or should I tell you that your pussy felt so good on my fingers that I would literally die to know what it feels like wrapped around my cock?" He says, "I want to make you come on my fingers like I would have in this kitchen." He smiled, knowing he was on the right track. His fingers curled inside me, and I jerked again. And he goes, "Be good," as he brought his other hand to my hips, holding me down. "Not good, girl," he said,
Be
"be good."
good. I need a cowboy to tell me to be good. Like, I need
I
oxygen.
was just like, "Yes, sir."
Like, why is that? Now I'm thinking be good might be hotter than good girl.
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is. And
You should have
then
understood.
we get this towards the end. This book is Chef Kisses, and then we get a mirror scene. So he goes, "I'm the luckiest man alive," I grinned. I pulled her panties down her legs, and I threw them across the room. I saw something out of the corner of my eye. It was us in the mirror. I knelt in front of her, and I pulled my shirt over my head and said, "Look up, sweetheart, take in the view." Short and to the point, Wes. And then he goes, "Hands on the mirror, sweetheart," and I leaned forward, and her palms landed on the mirror before our eyes met in the reflection. "Spread your legs," I said. And then he goes, "Eyes on me, Ada." Her brown eyes snap forward. "I want your eyes on me when I feel you up."
I'm in love with him.
Peace.
I'm in love
Like,
with him.
I was like, "Yes, sir."
Yes, sir. Aye, aye. Yeehaw, all the things. I also have two that I would like to express. I think there were only two scenes. Either that or we picked out the same things. But between the two of us, you get the whole picture. You don't have to read the book. You can just listen to us mismatch. Say all these again. When they are about to fuck, well, they're fooling around and then they get caught. Our foreheads press together. Both of us watch as his hand slipped under my shorts and between my legs. I gasped at the sensation of his fingers sinking into me. "Fuck Ada," he growled. I watched his fingers slide in and out of me slowly. "Still want more?" he asked. "Yes," I moaned, and he added a second finger. "So needy," he said. "Those city boys don't know how to fuck you right, do they?"
When he brought in the SETI boys, done.
Okay. Listen, I was talking to Bestie Allie last week. She was like, it's so interesting to me that you and your political ideology love a cowboy the way that you do. And I am so down bad for like a rustic, rugged man that does not give off Republican energy. And that's what this was for me. I need one desperately.
When he said the city boys can't, I was just like, you tell him.
No, the city boys can't fuck me like you could with your little mountain man thick thighs. I'm down so bad. Listen, this is, I'm getting off track now, but Seth and I have replaced like a lot of lighting in the house. So we put in a ceiling fan and then we replaced like three or four light fixtures. This man, he goes blue collar mode and he turns the hat around. And I'm like, you are being a slut. Like, he knows that he's being such a slut when he's like doing his little chores and like getting his hands dirty and he turns that hat around. Like, I, at the end of the day, just need a blue collar. I need a blue collar boy, preferably on a ranch, preferably who's also a billionaire. Like, that's what I need.
Love.
Okay. And then at the baby blue house hookup, right before he fucks her in front of the mirror, he says, I kiss my way down her body, stopping to take off her lacy white bra. I suck her nipple into my mouth, her back arched beneath me. I want to go down on you, sweetheart. And she's like, why? Which, girl, shut the fuck up. Just let the man go down on you. She's like, why? And are you sure? He says, I will sign the deed to this house over to you right now if you let me go down on you.
Sign that deed.
Sign it over. But yes, it was spicy. I enjoy it. I
I
always
do.
enjoy a cowboy. Not
I
always.
do think that even though they did not go like all the way in the pantry, I think that pantry scene was hot. Just like that quick, they like make out sesh. Like they just like I thought that was just like hot in general. Like they were sneaking around. Amos lived in the house, so I thought it was still pretty hot.
I think it's always hotter when there's like a possibility of getting caught. Like, I think that that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
What does that make us, exhibitionists?
Yeah.
Period. Sign me up.
Don't have any discussion
I'm
questions.
sitting here trying to think.
This book was not controversial or
It wasn't.
anything.
It wasn't good, clean fun. I am so excited for Teddy and Gus's book. That is like the
Yeah.
only book I think in the series that I like really deeply, deeply care about.
I'm honestly surprised that their book wasn't second.
I think she's building up the hype.
Yeah, because I mean, theirs is gonna be the best.
I just am gonna have to find some more cowboy recommendations because I fear that I've read all of the ones that are being recommended. Like, I fear that I'm reaching the bottom of the well here, and that is not okay with me.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Because I've read Chestnut Springs, I've read The Edens, I've read these two, I've read that one that I just I like I everything that's being recommended, I'm like, okay, well, I've been there, done that. So I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, I don't have any recommendations.
Shit. Okay, well, if you do, just slide into my DMs, please. Thank you.
So should we get into how we view Wes?
I think we should. I personally pictured Wes as like a Glenn Powell, massive rich golden retriever energy. I feel like he would give anyone the shirt off his back and would help old ladies cross the street. I think that he loves teaching you new things, but also loves learning new things from you. He knows the fresh flowers man at the farmer's market by name. I can picture him coaching like little league soccer or maybe t-ball, and I also can see him on Saturdays in his favorite team's jersey, like grilling with a backwards hat on while he's watching football in the outdoor kitchen. I think that he would just like light up a room, and he has a whole group laughing whenever he's with his friends. And then also his voice is giving Matthew McConaughey in like the best way possible.
Glenn Powell's a good one.
Thank you. I was
The
happy
pod's a
about
good one. Me personally, he reminded me of Scott Eastwood from The Longest Ride. I 100 out of 10 would recommend because I think it is such a good rom-com. It used to be on Netflix.
I have to make a confession. I've never seen The Longest Ride.
Sad. That's what you have to do tonight. I think it's so fucking good. I've seen it at least 20 times.
This man is fine, though.
Yeah. Scott
Oh,
East,
he was
Clint
in
Eastwood.
Gran Torino.
Clint Eastwood's his dad.
That is a like Hollywood overlap, but I'm gonna need to unpack it a later time because that's crazy.
Yeah. So I absolutely love The Longest Ride. He is very rugged on the outside, but is a golden retriever on the inside. Even when he is not on the ranch, he's wearing like worn Levi's and cowboy boots. He loves you more than anything and always makes sure that you have coffee ready in the morning and that your flowers are always fresh. He hosts family dinner every Sunday and he's always the first to volunteer to babysit his nieces or nephews. I think that he wears a very dainty gold wedding band, like a very thin gold wedding band. And when he is concentrating on work, he is casually chewing on the end of a toothpick.
You went full toothpick. Why that's killing me in a way, but it just really made me giggle. Did you watch the
Yeah.
Oscars at all?
I don't know. I don't get ABC because we have Sling, so we don't get ABC.
I didn't watch either, but I've been seeing like clips and pictures and stuff from everybody that won. I think that Cillian Murphy's wedding ring makes him hotter. Like his little
Yeah.
dainty band makes him more
There's something
attractive.
about a dainty wedding band.
I hope this like doesn't come off bad. Like I'm not trying to steal whoever's man that is, man, but like I don't know, it was just it adds to the allure of him, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's hot. So,
He is hot.
we have to finish with putting him in our God tier. So our God tier, our boyfriend pyramid, jumping the gun. So our scientifically proven boyfriend pyramid at the bottom, we have the ultimate friends with benefits, could be our once or twice thing, just friends with benefits. And then the next tier is white is meet the parents. Could be the one, cannot be the one, but you're at a point where you want to introduce him to your parents. And then you have white picket fence. We're all living happily ever after. You're just doing the married couple life. Then at the top is when he has some extra oomph that puts him into God tier. So, Sav, where are you putting Wes?
I think that this is the nicest boy I have ever put a God tier, personally.
Personally, Sam.
Yeah.
He's having his own room.
Like he's sweet boy, but like I still love him so much I want to put him up there.
Yeah, I think he has to be in God tier.
He's gonna be like my God tier mentor for the youngins.
Yeah, so I put him in God tier.
And his toothpick. Bringing it on up to God tier.
I'm sorry, the toothpick was just it. I don't know.
The toothpick fits so perfectly. I've just never like even thought about it, and it just made me giggle.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, he's going into God tier for me. I'll have to figure out what we're gonna read next.
I'm gonna have to get like a, you know how we have like our little inn or God tier village community? I'm gonna have to start a God tier stable because that's where all my cowboys are gonna have to live.
Their horses.
Yeah, I mean, the horses have to come and the baby cows, you know.
Okay.
Thanks everybody for listening to this episode and reading along with us for Swift and Saddled by Lila Sage. We're going to try something new. And instead of doing a book every week, we're going to do a book every other week. And then on the off weeks, we're just going to have little mini episodes and either have a topic or just catch up. Because Emily's going to be here next weekend, we're probably just going to do like a weekend debrief and like chit chat. If that is your speed, great. If not, still give us a 5-star review. And be nice to us. It's just a lot to read a book every week and have full-time jobs and lives and families. So we're gonna pivot a little, and if it works, cool. If not, we'll go back to reading a book every week. And we'll see you next week for our fun little debrief and our first many.
Bye guys, have a good rest of your week.
Bye.